Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors Studio. The Sunbury Motors Studio gets a lot of off-air talk. I get so many questions. Really, you, the Sunbury Motors Studio? Tell me what's in it. People are fascinated by this. And nobody enjoys it more than me. I walk down here every day, and I look around and I say, really? This is really cool. And, of course, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're 16 days away from the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. It is a day I circle on my calendar every year. I look forward to it. Now, for some people, it's the start of their golf season. I am deeply into mine already. But for some people, it is their version of the Masters. Oh, it really jumpstarts their personal golf season. Get your foursome together, sign them up. Afternoon flight, morning flight, and you have until Friday to do that. We want to fill this tournament up for the 25th annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Greater Susquehanna Valley, the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And it's the fifth year in a row we'll be there. And I am really looking forward to being there, seeing all of you come on by, stop, we'll have some fun, ask all sorts of questions. We're going to get to Dick's question from Milton on the coaching staff in just a few moments. But first, our play-by-play call of the day is heard right here on WKOK. Scott Fransky.
Swung on and punched to left. It's pretty well hit. Worth going back to the corner. He won't get it. Yeah. It's off the base of the wall. Bronco scores. Galvis wins it. The Phillies beat Papelbon and the Nationals. It's their first walk-off of the year. And Galvis wins it.
And the Phillies were actually down 2-1 in the 10th inning and scored two in the bottom of the 10th. Freddie Galvis with the RBI single to win it yesterday. Great walk-off win for the Phillies that you heard right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And the Phillies are back on WKOK tonight when they take on the Mets at Citizens Bank Park. 7:05 first pitch tonight. We're on beginning at 6:30 this evening with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson. We're getting a lot of great reaction having the Phils back on. Thrilled to have them back on. It's all worth it. They get a walk-off win like yesterday. You know what? They're off to a decent start. Not awesome, not incredible, but you know what? Not bad either. Charlie Morton gave them six really good innings yesterday. It's a good start for Charlie Morton. And they got just enough hitting to win it. They beat Papelbon in the 10th yesterday.
Even though they're 6-7 currently, I'll take that for sure.
That's what I mean. I mean, they're not awesome and incredible, but nobody expected that. But they're not bad either. I mean, this has been fun so far. The two young pitchers are fabulous. Velasquez and Nola, and then you add in a veteran like Morton. Yeah, they got to get more production out of first base. I think Darren Ruff's hitting 133. I think Howard's hitting 189. Got to get more out of that, but, you know, we'll talk more about that as time goes. Let's see. Dick and Milton had a great question. Following up Tony and Shemokin's call, where Tony laid out some really good observations. Same thing with Dick. I'm going to do it two parts. Dick talked about, you may not have heard quite what I said during the out to start, to end the previous half hour, where Dick mentioned it's 9.9 scholarships. That's really weird. Dick's absolutely right. It is. Dick is absolutely right. I mean, the sport of wrestling, for example, should not have 9.9 scholarships. I mean, it shouldn't. But what happened was that they took football from 95 down to 85 scholarships. And then what they did was they took all the other sports and they rolled them back 10%. So wrestling at one point had 11 scholarships. So you know how they got the 9.9? They rolled it back 10%, which is 1.1. That's how you get 9.9. So you have to field the team with 10. You can't have 10 full scholarship wrestlers on there. So you've got to divvy it up in certain ways. Some guys get a quarter. Some guys get a half. Some guys, you know, there's all sorts of percentages. Here, you know, look, there are a couple guys you got to give full rides to. There's no getting around it. But in that case, for example, Dick asked about does a fifth-year player have to pay their own way in football? Absolutely not. If they are under the guise of being one of the 85 scholarship players, that fifth year is also paid for. But the same thing would be with a wrestler. Say, for example, even if you're there, let's just pick a percentage. Say you get a half scholarship to try and fit under the 9.9, and you redshirt your first year, and then you wrestle four straight years after that. You're still getting that half scholarship in your fifth year. You still do that. So as long as you count as one of the scholarship athletes, you're getting whatever the percentage of the scholarship happens to be. For a football player, it's always 100%. There are a couple of wrestlers where it's 100%, but there are some where it's three quarters, some's a half, some's a third, some happens to be a quarter. It's all sorts of percentages to try and get the 9.9. That's why it's not easy managing a sport. It's one thing to try and manage 85, but you're giving everybody full rides as you do it. Same thing in men's basketball. You're giving out, you're allowed 13 scholarships in men's basketball, and so you're giving out 13 full scholarships. Women's basketball, here's the oddity of women's basketball. You're allowed 15 scholarships. So you're actually allowed two more women's basketball scholarships than men's scholarships. But do you realize most women's basketball programs do not use all 15? Now, it's more pressing. What's interesting is it's more pressing for men's basketball, the scholarship number, for this reason, and why they need some walk-ons. They need practice players out there at times. Conversely, the women practice against guys. So you may have 10, 11, 12 scholarship players on a women's team, but you're not practicing against each other. They bring a guy's team in to practice against them. Okay. All right. And if you're wondering, you know, when it comes time to examine, quote, participants, not scholarships, but participants, the guys' practice squad that go up against the women count as women's participants. Hey, I don't make this stuff up. And I don't vote on it. All right? I just give answers, okay? So that was Dick's question about that. Then Dick asked about the new coaching staff, so let's get to that. Joe Moorhead, Matt Limegrover, Tim Banks. Joe Moorhead, obviously, this is the offense he and James Franklin came up with. And Joe Moorhead will be calling, number one, he will be coaching from the sideline. So it wasn't just the blue-white game where you saw him on the sideline. Oh, it's the blue-white game, that's why he's there. No, Joe Moorhead will be coaching from the sideline. He's quick, he's decisive as to what he wants to do. He's got an offense where it really fits his quarterbacks. And not only that, I think it helps the offensive line. A little more zone blocking, not as complicated. And I think that's a plus for them moving forward. He wants everybody, and James Franklin has preached this part, so this is the James Franklin part that's incorporated into what Joe Moorhead wants to do. You notice as you're watching the blue-white game, boom, have to get back to the line of scrimmage. There's no huddle. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that they're going to snap the ball right away. They could snap the ball at 28. They could snap it at 18. They could snap it at 4. Doesn't matter. But the defense doesn't know. And you also notice there's not a lot of substitution in it. when you're playing at a pace and the other side isn't quite sure which tempo you're going to go at, what's the one way an offense actually benefits a defense when you're trying to play a tempo? Substituting. Why? You're saying, well, why would the offense substituting be a problem? Because if you substitute on offense, the defense is allowed to substitute. And there's the break they're looking for. If you're not changing personnel a lot as you go through, they can't change their personnel over there unless they want to quickly run somebody off and somebody on. You can do that, but you better do it in such a way where you're not caught with 12 in the field. Because I can snap it any time I darn well please. I'm up at the line of scrimmage. So, varying tempos. Joe works with the quarterbacks, and he has a great feel for it, no question. Now let's get to Matt Limegrover. I feel coming out of this thing really good about seven of these guys in the offensive line. And maybe eight. Maybe we'll throw Wendy Laurent in there as an eight. There's potential for others. Alex Gellerstedt's going to be pretty good. He's going to need more of the weight program. Connor McGovern's going to be a really good. I'd be shocked if he does not become a really good offensive lineman here. His time is not here yet, though. His time is not here yet. There are moments where he's spot on. There are moments where you can see the learning curve. But you can see the potential the entire time with Connor. Connor is going to be a really good football player here. That moment is not this second. He's a true freshman. And his class hasn't even officially entered yet. So at least he's got a head start, and that's big for him. Matt Limegrover is a pro's pro as to how he operates on this offensive line. I really like his approach. I thought his Minnesota offensive lines were really good. I also thought he was a good play caller in his own right when he was at Minnesota. But I think the fact now that Matt can just lock in, concentrate on being the offensive line coach, can help with the game plan, but doesn't have to be responsible for the game plan. I think just having that one responsibility right now is really a plus for him. That's allowed him to lock in on a really important part of the football team. Well, I've talked about recovering and foundation. Well, that part of that foundation building that I'm talking about after the recovery phase is the offensive line, which numerically was just decimated over the last couple of years. That's nobody's fault. That's nobody's fault here, and it's nobody's fault previous to anybody here. We all know where the fault lies on that one. They were forced to do it this way. Well, you see now they've recruited, and you still got Michael Mennett coming in and a couple of other guys in that area up front that's going to give them more depth. Let's say right now Matt's got seven guys you can really look at. Bay, Dowry, Mann, Palmer, Gaia, Bates, and Nelson. Lorenz right there. I mean, Lorenz fine. He'd be fine in there. But I think that's where they are right now. That's better than looking back at it 2 years ago where you felt like, I don't know, coming out of the spring, you had three. I mean, seriously. They look better. And you know what? I think it was it Tony? Tony made the comment about how quick they looked. They look fast across the board. You saw, for example, you could see it in the offensive line. Bates is lean. He's 301, but what has he got? 2%? 3% body fat? I got more in my index finger.
Because we're talking about body type on the offensive line. I even noticed just as the team was walking off the bus and going down the road, Paris Palmer looking much, much, much leaner and taller.
He's 302 pounds. And again, same thing, no body fat. Andrew Nelson, I think what's helped him, Andrew Nelson did not miss a snap in the spring. Zero. I think going from 310 down to 299 really helped him a lot. That spot on the left side, I can see that. I can envision that being permanent. Bates has been in that left guard spot with the ones now for almost 3 weeks. That I mentioned in the beginning, it was a misnomer that people thought that, well, when Mann went down, Bates became first team. No. That's somebody guessing, I think, but it's the wrong guess. Mann and Bates were the first team guards for a couple of practices. Then Mann got banged up. And, you know, and Brendan Mann was fine. It was one of those things where each week if you could, you know, if they had to play a game, he could play, but they wanted to make sure he came back as 100%. And Gaia, I thought Gaia was okay early at center. Now I think he's actually pretty good at center. And Bay started to come on probably in November of last year. He had a really good scrimmage on a Sunday night in early November where, like, you felt like the light came on for Noah. And Noah's done well. And Noah's played pretty well at that right tackle spot. And he and Palmer will be an interesting duel in the preseason there, I think. So that's Matt Limegrover. And just a really good teacher, really respected by his guys. And you can see that. And then the guy that nobody talks about is Tim Banks. Tim Banks is about as nice a guy as you'd ever meet. Unbelievable. And he's out there. He's with the safeties. The guys love him. Very big on technique, very big on closing the ball, and very big on, look, we got to get more turnovers, takeaways. Safeties last year for Penn State had one interception the whole season, Malik Golden's interception at the end of the Maryland games. The only safety interception they had last year. Plus Tim being a former defensive coordinator himself, he's co-coordinator. That's somebody Brent Pry bounces a lot of things off of. I really like Tim Banks a lot. These three guys have come in, and you feel like they've been here the entire time. And that says something. We'll come back with more in a moment. Your calls, 1-800-795-9565. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
We have a great Bozo of the Day coming up. Great one. Loved it. That'll be after the news, bottom of the hour. Something else about the blue-white game. 800-795-9565. It was a gorgeous day. You had people tailgating and having a great time. You had... you know, people going into the stadium, probably they say 65,000. They probably had 65,000 outside the stadium hanging and waiting around. But to me, this game has always made beyond the week-in and week-out grind of trying to win as many games as possible in September, October, November, and then into December, January. The blue-white game has always been a major statement game to me because it's only a scrimmage. Obviously, when the weather's great, it increases attendance. But you had 65,000 people there, and I don't know, another 30, 40,000 outside didn't come in. And it just tells you about the passion people feel about Penn State football. You know, and it's not just the, I want to go see which wideouts are playing great. I want to go see how much Cabinda's improved a linebacker. There, obviously, there's a segment that looks at that, thinks about that. No question. But it's the events. There are 7 events every year in Beaver Stadium. This is the 8th one that happens every year. And it turns out this one's free, parking's free, admission's free. So you see all the kids at the end of the game running on the field. But it's only a scrimmage. And people see the opportunity to come up here. They mark it on their calendar to have a great time. And it tells me every year how much this program means to so many people that for a really essentially a meaningless scrimmage, people show up in droves. I mean, you may be parking, may be free, and admission may be free, two huge things. But you still have to buy your food, you still have to buy your gas, you still have to carve out your day to come out and do it. And it just tells me something about how beloved the program really is. I mean, if they were getting $65,000 a game, the USFL would still be in existence right now. And Donald Trump would still be the owner of the New Jersey Generals trying to get into the NFL instead of doing what he's doing now. But it just tells you about the depth of passion people feel for coming back here, seeing it, being a part of it, and just being a part of the event of it. It's pretty special, really.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They've served the Valley for decades. They'll find you the right insurance that best fits your needs, and they'll do it for the best price possible. Oh, if there's a claim, they'll act as if it happened to them. They're right on top of it immediately. Purdy Insurance, the pros at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Don't forget the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament will be Wednesday, May 4th, just a mere 16 days away at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. You have until Friday to sign up. Sign up your foursome for either the morning or the afternoon flight. We want this sold out because the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA does tremendous work, and that will be the beneficiary of the tournament. It's also the 25th annual, and it will be the fifth straight year we're there. So come on out and join us at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, May 4th, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. This one is a beauty. Talk about a great idea, and it still is a great idea. The Tennessee Titans of the NFL came up with a tremendous idea for season ticket holders. Why don't you come on out, bring your blankets, bring your snacks, and up on the Jumbotron for you and your children, we're going to show the movie Minions. What a nice thing to do on a summer evening in Nashville, Tennessee. Your season ticket holder for the Titans, you get to bring your family, a blanket, some popcorn, some food, whatever, and up on the Jumbotron is Minions. Unfortunately, not everybody got the memo at Nissan Stadium. Because at one point during the movie, the sprinkler system went off on the field. And for 30 to 40 seconds, everybody's scrambling because Nissan Stadium has a natural grass field. And the sprinkler system got everybody wet. They're all on timers, and I guess they forgot to turn the timer off. Penn State a few years ago was playing. This year Penn State is hosting the men's volleyball Final Four, and they were playing USC in the semifinal when the last time Penn State hosted it. And Max Holt, who's now on the U.S. men's Olympic team, Max Holt was getting ready to, this has been an epic five set that's taken all night. He's getting ready to serve, finally, match points. Been an epic comeback by Penn State. And just as he's about to put the ball in play, all the lights went out in Rec Hall. The reason? The lights are on a timer at midnight. They had to wait to power all the lights back up in Rec Hall. Once they powered it back up, Max Holt served an ace and ended it. You'll see Max this summer in Rio with the U.S. Olympic team. But it's a great idea, except they forgot to turn the timer off on the sprinkler system at Nissan Stadium. All the season ticket holders that decided to take their families were running for cover as they're being bombarded by water. Now, it's funny now because nobody got hurt. It's not that serious. I'm sure they weren't that thrilled with it. Just a good idea that is still a good idea. You just have to remember to take care of that one thing. 800-795-9565 is the number. Well, and obviously the people who got wet, I mean, you know, you get wet, you've got your clothes, you're miserable. I mean, that's... the best laid plans. Talked about the weekend. Now, Michael Robinson, Mike on Saturday night. We had Devin Still on the show on Friday. They both had events for their respective foundations over the weekend. You also had the Special Olympics fundraiser, the Paterno Family Beaver Stadium Run. I stood up on stage yesterday. James Franklin was up there with his daughter, Shola. He had Sandy Barber was up there. Sue Paterno was up there. A lot of the great Lettermen were up there. Several of the current football players were up there. And obviously, Franco Harris was the... Look, he's the central figure, but it's, you know, but I still have to MC it, so we're like in a co-hosting role. And you stand up on that stage and you look out like at the sea of people. It was a beautiful day. It was a perfect day to run. But it was impressive. And they go in a 5K and they finish at the 50-yard line at Beaver Stadium. There's also a walk associated with it, too. But that's the way it was the entire weekend. People everywhere and all just taking time and having a good time. Penn State football is not just a game, it's an event. And that's what I was talking about beforehand. You think of all the people you've met at tailgating, all the great food you've had at tailgating. All the times you've walked through the parking lot and seen a Frisbee being thrown around, football being thrown around, cornhole, something. And, you know, and then people go to the game. Now, some elected not to go in. They stayed out in the parking lot, whatever, which is fine because it's an all-day party out there. Those parking lots opened up at 8 o'clock, and it just tells you the depth of feeling Penn State has for the program. And it was great to see, obviously Jack's with me all the time, but, you know, Franco Harris always coming back. Navarro Bowman came back. Jordan Norwood came back. It was really cool because Jordan Norwood went over to State High with his brother Levi, who played at Baylor, and they're both State High grads. They went over and they talked to an assembly at State High. Yeah, it's not many high schools. In fact, the State High is the only high school in the country right now that can brag and have a graduate that has the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. Michael Robinson was back. The 2005 team was back. It was great to see all those guys. And that's an important link in all of this, that your lettermen keep coming back because it gives that depth of feeling of tradition within the program and a sense of unity in the program. And that, you know, that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. Everybody's been through a lot here. And accusations and things like that, and over time, some things are now becoming clearer as to what did and didn't happen. But the fan base has been loyal. They've stayed apart. They've been a part of this, and they understand that, and I realize, look, it's your money. You work hard. You work hard. You don't have a cushy job where you're just sitting there and they point you toward the field and you talk. Who has that job? But you work hard for your money, so you have to make hard decisions as to what you want to do, with your entertainment dollar. And when you got tens of thousands of people deciding that their entertainment dollar to them is best spent for their personal entertainment to go to Penn State, and then you just see Saturday where it was a free parking, free admission event, and the depth of people that came out to see this was great. The scrimmage. Trace McSorley was really good, obviously, on Saturday. Really good. And Trace has done a lot of that during the course of the spring. Now, he had, an 85% rate completion? Trace was probably about 70% for the most part during the course of the spring. I mentioned Monday's practice. Monday's practice, both quarterbacks were very good in Monday's practice. Very, very sharp. Now, Wednesday's practice, defense had its moments. Trace threw a ball. The offense was moving the ball late in practice on Wednesday. He threw it, and John Reed picked it off, ran it all the way back for a touchdown. So he had some really, really great moments, and there's a couple moments along the way which aren't so great. And that's what, and remember, you got to see that moving forward. But there's a pace to which this offense runs. They get back with lightning speed to the line of scrimmage. Now at that point, now it's up to them as to when they want to go with it. Do you want to snap the ball at 30? Do you want to snap the ball at 20? Do you want to snap the ball at 4? That's the glory of already being at the line of scrimmage, not substituting, and you dictate the tempo of the game. This offense wants to dictate the tempo of the game. And then defensively, as we've talked about before, Bob Shoup would call two defenses, depending on personnel and alignment. They would pick with a check with me as to which one they're going to go with. Okay, and that's a fine system. It works very well, especially with veteran players. It works really well. But Brent Pry's system is to call a defense, and guess what? We're going to show a little personality here, and we're going to disguise it. When we look at Penn State the last two years, for the most part, they weren't really that great at disguising what they were doing. They were really great at getting the right defense out there for the most part at the right time. That's the check with me part. But rarely did we see Penn State disguise a defense. Well, now, during the spring, you didn't see a lot of disguising of defenses on Saturday. But all spring long, they were disguising it, doing it with some personality, and really they were getting to be really good at it. And it really was not a disguise defense they used on the interception by Imani Oruyuwariye. But they did confuse Trace McSorley on the coverage Trace thought it was one and it was the other. He thought it was man coverage and it was zone coverage and he got burned on it. And there are a couple of defenses that Brent really likes to run, a couple of coverages he really likes to run, and he didn't run it. Brent Pry is not a big believer in free release off the line of scrimmage. Okay? He's not a big believer in free release off the line of scrimmage. He wants you as a receiver to work for every yard you go into your route. Kicking game is going to get settled down, I think, this year. It's going to be a big step in the direction of the actual kicking of the football. You have seen Penn State's cover team. Penn State's cover teams really improved last year. The cover teams really improved. Walk-ons are great. You see what Brandon Smith has done as a walk-on. He's terrific. Won the Frank Patrick Award, total commitment. He and Deshaun Hamilton shared it. And walk-ons are treated like everybody else. If you can play, take my word, they will play you. Sometimes you just play miss on guys. Troy Drayton was always a perfect example. He walked on to Penn State. He ended up running out of Penn State as a second-round draft pick of the Miami Dolphins. Happens. Right? Sometimes you miss on people. But I would say 75 to 80% of the time, there is a reason why you have these scholarship players and these walk-ons. 75 to 80% of the time. Most of the scholarship players, with all due respect, are better athletes. That's that 75 to 80% I'm talking about. Well, Penn State put better athletes on the field on cover teams. There were moments a couple of years ago where they had 8 walk-ons on cover team. That's why that improved. Now the next step, improving the kicking part with scholarship kickers. That's the next step moving forward. That's about to happen. When that starts to happen on a consistent basis, now you will see a different level of decision-making by James Franklin as to what to do in certain situations, because now he'll have all the cards in the deck to deal with. Again, 2-year recovery phase, now the foundation phase, which then leads to the mansion phase. Phillies and Mets tonight, 7:05 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, airtime 6:30 as we continue. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It's a fun weekend, fun day today, as a matter of fact. What do we do to deserve this? This is great. I mean, I'm listening to Wakeman at the bottom of the hour. Now, you know, everybody knows I love Jen, right? But she's like, it's going to be cooler tomorrow. It's going to be in the 60s tomorrow. We were begging to be in the 60s 10 days ago. We're begging for it. Come on. It may not be 80. It's 81 here.
By the way, she thought of another golfer that possibility you could chat with when you get to Oakmont in June for the U.S. Open.
Who's that?
She was thinking about Adam Scott.
Ah, well, Adam Scott would certainly be one of the guys that would be in the thick of it. Yeah. That'd be fine.
the first ever Australian to win the Masters. Adam Scott's had a really good year. And what's made Adam Scott an even bigger story in this particular year is that, you know, he had finally relied upon the anchored putter to help him on the greens. Well, this year you're not allowed to use it. And he has made a great adjustment away from that to the point where he's won a couple of tournaments this year. His Masters showing wasn't great, which was odd because he really had been playing great golf entering the Masters. So, yeah, Adam Scott would be a great person to talk to. Mark that down. Very nice. They're having media day at the Masters on the 25th of April. Are they going to let the media play the course? Because I figure between the 25th of April and the second week of June, there'll be enough time to repair it. Just kidding. Well, it was a fun weekend. That's a good idea. I like that. Adam Scott's really good because he'll be one of the favorites going in. Yeah, makes sense. Let's see. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox today 4-3. We've got the Phillies and Mets tonight, 6:35 the airtime. Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson, 7:05 the first pitch this evening. Phillies try to get back to 500 tonight. Yesterday was the Fanatics' birthday. They celebrated at the park, and they won the game 3-2. Freddie Galvis drove in the game winner in the 10th inning off Jonathan Papelbon. And it just seems to give Philly fans a lot of delight when they beat Papelbon. Interesting guy. You know, I want to make one quick point about the Phillies. I know we've been talking about Penn State football, but hear me out on this. You know, they dealt Ken Giles to the Astros, and I've heard some people say, hey, look, they need a closer. You know what? Closers are the kind of deal where they've got a real limited shelf life. Mariano Rivera had completely skewed the true shelf life of a closer. Let me give you an example. The Red Sox won in 2004, 2007, and 2013, right? Three times in the 10 seasons, correct? Keith Foulke was the closer in 2004. Jonathan Papelbon was the closer in 2007. And Koji Uehara was the closer in 2013. They won three championships in 10 years with three different closers. Believe me, you can find one. There's only one Mariano Rivera. What a profound statement that was.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.